Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Gold City. Boy, I'm looking forward to hearing y'all leading us in worship this afternoon after dinner on the grounds. I hope you're planning on staying. This is just a taste of what we're in for this afternoon. And I want you to take your Bible now and turn with me once again to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel and chapter 20. I'm continuing my sermon series on Jonathan and David's friendship, and we're learning how we can be the kind of friends that they were. And if you've not brought your Bible with you, stepped in front of that monitor, I guess. I won't do that again. If you've not brought your Bible with you, just reach right in front of you, get one of those pew Bibles, turn with us to page number 337. You'll find yourself at our text for the day. That is 1 Samuel 20. And just one verse for our reading, but I want you to keep your Bible open on your lap or to your side as my sermon, its points will be coming from this single verse. You're going to get 40, 50, 60% more out of the message as you see it unfolding before your very eyes from God's holy word. You can see the title of the message there in your worship guide and on the screen, Best Friends Forever. Now, the chat anacronym or the texting shorthand or abbreviation for Best Friends Forever is BFF. And we're going to let those three letters that stands for Best Friends Forever, for those who love to text, stand for our 3 points that come right out of the 42nd verse of 1 Samuel chapter 20 and show us the kind of friendship Jonathan had with David and the kind of friendship that we ought to develop with each other. And it's very interesting to know that not everyone places as high a premium on friendship as we believers do. As a matter of fact, Buddha sarcastically said, and I quote, "He who has 100 friends has 100 woes, and he who has 50 friends has 50 woes, and he who has no friends has no woes." I thought Buddhism was supposed to be the happy religion, but obviously they don't put a very high value and premium on friendship. When I read what Buddha had said, it reminded me a lot of Sigmund Freud. I don't think he was a Buddhist, but he sure would line up with that quote from Buddha. He had very little compassion for the common person, and he wrote in the year 1918, and I quote, "I have found little that is good about human beings on the whole. In my experience, most of them are trash." Is it any wonder that Sigmund Freud died at 83 years of age, a bitter, lonely, and friendless man? He was the Rodney Dangerfield of friendship. The late comedian once told his father, "Nobody likes me." And his father replied, "Don't say that. Everybody hasn't met you yet." F.C. McKenzie said, and I quote, "Some people make enemies instead of friends because it is less trouble." Well, I want you to know that this book right here does not agree with that. Especially Proverbs 17 and verse 17, which says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." I like what this unknown author wrote. He said this, and I quote, looking there on the screen, "Friends are like good health. You don't realize what a gift they are until you lose them." Can I get an amen on that? Boy, I tell you, friendship is a treasure, and we thank God for it. And Jonathan and David had that kind of model friendship. Well, when I look at this 42nd verse, I see 3 clear and distinct points about their friendship. First of all, I see their B bond. And what I want us to do is just go ahead and read that verse in its entirety, and we'll pick it apart as we go through the morning. Verse 42, if you have your Bible open there, give me a loud, hearty amen. Then you read silently as I read aloud. It says, "Then Jonathan said to David, 'Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever. So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Now, the phrase that I want to key in on there is the beginning of Jonathan's covenant statement with David, where he said, may the Lord be between, or you might be reading from a translation that says, may the Lord be witness between you and me. That biblical word between serves as a picture for what we would commonly think of as a weld or super glue. And it describes their bond. Middle schoolers, Cal Robson, 14 years old, and his best friend, Nathan Watkins, 13 years old, challenged each other to an arm wrestling contest in their music class at school. That's a good way to spend your music class in school. And Kyle did not realize that a girl had squirted some super glue on his hand, so that when it came in contact with Nathan's hand as they were arm wrestling, they were permanently bound together. Well, of course, the teacher did not believe them at first, but she was soon convinced, and the parents were called, and the two middle schoolers were taken to urgent care, and they consulted the medical guide and were freed after a 30-minute treatment of scalding hot water and soap. So don't have that kind of bond, especially you middle school guys down here. Have the kind of bond that was between David and Jonathan. That word between, that is a picture for our modern day thinking about what superglue is first mentioned in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, when it talks about the marriage of Adam and Eve. And it says that they were one. They became one. A modern day way of thinking of that is they were welded together. They were super glued. And they could not be separated without doing collateral damage to each other. And that certainly is true. Anyone who's been through divorce can tell you that you cannot experience that kind of separation without doing damage to yourself and damage to your marriage partner. And as I said before, some of you have a translation that renders that covenant this way: let the Lord be witness between you and me. Again, that word witness reminds us of the marriage ceremony. Whenever the preacher stands at the marriage altar, the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, we are gathered here today in the sight of God and in the presence of this company. Why does the preacher start off the wedding that way? Because he wants that married couple to realize that there's more than one person who is witnessing their vows and their pledges and their promises to each other. It's first of all in the sight of God, and he is a witness to all those proceedings, along with the company that comes there and by their presence is saying, I give approval to this couple making vows of marriage to each other. Oh, it's a serious thing. And it's a serious thing to be a friend. And Jonathan and David realized that. That's why they made the strong statement that it is the Lord that is between us. He is the witness between us. He is the glue. He is the bond. And as every believer can tell you here today, there's no friendship like a Christian friendship, because the Lord makes us have a bond and a love and a commitment that can't be found in any other type of relationship. Many of you love, like me, the 1960s sitcom, The Andy Griffith Show. Of course, Barney and Andy are famous friends, and they have an inseparable bond in their relationship. One of my favorite episodes is episode number 43, where Andy turns down the promotion to join a social club that will improve his social standing and status and probably even give him some props for his professional life. He attended that kind of initiation meeting, get-to-know-you meeting, with Barney. He asked if Barney could come along, and so the two went along, and the guys that were at that club really liked Andy. And when they made their decision, they decided to accept Andy's application to be in the club, but they rejected Barney's. And Andy made the decision by the end of episode 43 that he rejected the club because he chose friendship over advancement. That's the kind of bond and friendship that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams had. Of course, Thomas Jefferson was our third president of the United States, and John Adams was the second president of the United States. What you might not know about these two is that the Continental Congress had asked these two, along with three other men, including Ben Franklin, to be on the Committee of Five, and with Thomas Jefferson, with quill in hand, wrote the Declaration of Independence. John Adams encouraged Jefferson to take this assignment, and when Jefferson finished his first draft, it was John Adams that included a lot of the more refined language that is in our Declaration of Independence today. These two famous friends, though, had a falling out. In the year 1800, they became rivals in the presidential election, one running on one side of the political spectrum and one on the other side of the political spectrum. It was a very, very bitterly fought campaign. And when election day came, only a few electoral votes separated Jefferson and Adams. Adams, the older of the two, was very defeated in his spirit and in his emotions, and he left the White House and retired in defeat to his farm in Quincy, Massachusetts. There he could not get over how his famous friendship with Jefferson now seemed to be ended, and he did not want it to end that way. And so he picked up paper and a quill and wrote a letter of friendship to Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson responded in kind, and what we have now is the history of the correspondence between these two men and their rekindled friendship. When John Adams was laying on his deathbed, it was July the 4th, Independence Day, 1826, just 2 years before the city of Newnan was founded and before First Baptist Church of Newnan was established. And it was the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, the document that these two men worked so closely on. As Adams lay on his deathbed, he thought about his friend, and he whispered these words, "Jefferson survives." Little did he know that just 5 hours before he made that statement, on the exact same date, 50 years to the date that the two had drafted the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson died. They were friends in life and friends in death. Benjamin Franklin, one of their friends and one of the three people or five people on the Committee of Five, made this statement about friendship, and I quote, "Be slow in choosing a friend, slower in changing." Good advice for all of us who want to have a friendship that brings honor and glory to God. And so whenever we look at verse 42 and we unpack it word by word and phrase by phrase, we see that these best friends forever had a bond. God was between them. He was the witness between them. But not only do we see their B bond, we see their F, families. Go on and read all of that covenant in the middle of the verse that Jonathan made with David. He said, "May the Lord be between you and me." That's their bond, but here's their family. "And between your descendants and my descendants forever." What a powerful statement that was. This is not just a bond that exists between you and me, David, but it's a bond that will be lived out by our descendants in years and generations to come. The interesting thing is, David had an opportunity to live out that commitment and that pledge just a few years later. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, we read that Jonathan is already dead. David's best friend has tragically died. And we read there in 2 Samuel 4, verse 4, that Jonathan had a son, and his name was Mephibosheth. And the story tells us that Mephibosheth was lame in both of his feet because his nursemaid dropped him when she was trying to escape the palace upon hearing about Jonathan's death. And so she was in a panic, and we don't know the details, but we know that five-year-old Mephibosheth fell and became disabled in his feet the rest of his life. Well, one day David was sitting in his palace in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, and he said to those who were around him, "Is there anyone that is in the house of Saul?" And of course, Saul was the father of Jonathan, David's best friend. But Saul was also David's adversary. Saul was insanely jealous of David. So hear this statement with really a clear understanding of what David is saying. He says in 2 Samuel 9, verse 1, "Is there anyone that is still living in the house of Saul that I may show kindness to for Jonathan's sake?" For the sake of this pledge and friendship that we established way back there in chapter 20 and verse 42. Well, Ziba, the servant of King David, said, "Yes, there is a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both of his feet, and his name is Mephibosheth." And so David arranged so that he could go and meet Mephibosheth. When Mephibosheth heard this news that King David was coming, and knowing that it was common practice in that day when a deposed king who had adversarial relationship with the new king came on the scene, it was tradition for all the family members, all the descendants of that adversarial king, who's now deposed, in this case dead, to be killed, to be exterminated. So put yourself in this disabled young man's place. The king, who had a bad relationship with your grandfather, is asking if you're alive, and he wants to come see you. But imagine how surprised he was when David came in 2 Samuel verse 9, and surprised Mephibosheth by saying, "I want to show kindness to you for the sake of your father, Jonathan." And in his mind, he was thinking back here to chapter 20, verse 42. And the last verse in 2 Samuel chapter 9 says that Mephibosheth ate continually at the king's table. Here's what David did. He said, "You know, Mephibosheth, you got a nice house here, but I've got a palace with lots of rooms. And I want you to come live with me just like one of my sons. And I want you to come and eat every supper with me at my table with my family." Could I just use my own mind's eye and have you imagine what supper looked like every evening in King David's palace? First of all, a side door would open, and out would come David's handsome son, Absalom. Just a picture of handsomeness. And he would come straight as an arrow and sit right there at his assigned place at King David's table. And then would come his other siblings as other doors would open around the dining room. And then the double doors at the head of the table would open up. And here would be King David, the man who was the apple of God's eye, dressed in his royal robe and the crown of Israel upon his head. And with his regal stature, he would come and take his place at the head of the table. And then finally, a door over here would open up, and Mephibosheth would appear. And this is what you would hear. As Mephibosheth, with his two lame feet, thudded and slid, thudded and slid, till he took his place at the king's table. What a picture of friendship. That's a picture of the friendship that Jesus offers to you and me. Because you see, we also are disabled because of sin in our life. And we cannot earn our way to sit at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords table. But he, by his grace, he, for the sake of mercy, invites us to be his friend, to be a part of his family. You might be here today lonely and without a friend, and God's inviting you to come by faith and sit at his table. There's another very good application here for us today, and that is that we sitting in this building today should honor the commitments and friendships of our ancestors. And in these United States of America, we have historically been friends of the nation of Israel. But you wouldn't know that in these last several months and years. And we need to come back to the conviction and the place, just like David did with the commitment was made to Jonathan, that we will be friends with God's people in Israel. So what have we seen in this single verse? We've seen these best friends forever. We've seen their bond. We've seen their F families. And then finally, we see their F farewell. I just want to start at the verse, first of verse 42 and go all the way to the end. Because Jonathan said to David in the opening part of that verse, "Go in peace." And then notice that word forever that's used at the end of that covenant. May God be between you and me and your descendants and my descendants temporarily. No, forever. And then we read this last statement at the end of verse 42. So he arose and departed. The last time these two friends would see each other this side of heaven. It's been commonly said that a dog is man's best friend, and that was certainly true for our family pet, Princess. When I was your new pastor here almost 9 years ago now, we wanted to buy a dog for our boys, but it ended up being Amy's and my dog. And I tell you, Princess, she made us laugh when we felt like crying. There were days that we didn't feel good at all, and she would just come in and nuzzle up next to us or want to play with us and just make us feel better. And I was talking to one of our new members the other day. We were over at the Grace's house, Jeff and Christy Grace, who are new members of our church, and we were talking about animals. They're animal lovers. They have a pet wild bird. They have a pet Carolina Wren. They have dogs. They have horses. They just love animals. And I shared with Jeff, it was when we were sitting in their living room this last Thursday night. By the way, pray for Christy. She's got a very important surgery coming up tomorrow at Piedmont Fayetteville. And she needs our prayers. Jeff needs our prayers for that surgery tomorrow. But I shared with Jeff that our friend Princess of the last 9 years passed away Friday before last. Amy and I were in the veterinary's office, and I was not prepared for the emotion that I would have with Prince's passing. We both laid on the floor next to her and we wept bitter tears. We prayed. We thanked God for how Princess had been our friend and how she had taught us how to be friends, to be unconditionally loving, and to be loyal. And I know that it's hard when we have to say farewell to any friend, whether it be a pet or someone that has a soul capable of being saved. By the way, speaking of pets, people wonder if dogs are in heaven. I believe they are, because all over the New Testament it talks about animals in heaven. There's going to be horses in heaven. Do you know that? The four living creatures represent four categories of life in heaven. And even Martin Luther, the founder of the Lutheran Church, he had a little dog, and when that dog died, he said, one day, little pet, you will have a golden tail in the resurrection. So I look forward to seeing my friend Princess, who taught me about love and loyalty, one more day. Most of us weren't alive in 1936, but that was the year of one of the most famous Olympic Games in Berlin, Germany. Of course, Jesse Owens was the most famous athlete there in the 1936 Games in Berlin, Germany. And as Jesse was approaching the jumping pit, he saw a tall, handsome, blonde, blue-eyed German jumping 26 feet without any struggle whatsoever. And he approached this new person, knowing the Nazi mindset was Aryan superiority. And this athlete from Germany approached Owens and introduced himself. He says, "My name is Lutz Long." And the two chatted, this son of a black sharecropper and this model of Nazi manhood, chatted just like friends. And as they chatted, Lutz Long gave Jesse Owens some advice about how to more effectively jump, helping him earn the second of his four gold medals. The first person to approach Jesse Owens after he received his gold medal for jumping was Lutz Long. And he congratulated him in full view of Adolf Hitler. Jesse Owens never saw Lutz Long again. Lutz Long was killed during action in World War II. Jesse Owens later said this about Lutz Long, and I quote, "You could melt down all the medals and cups I have, and they would not compare to the 24-karat friendship I felt for Lutz Long." You know, many of us know the name of Michael W. Smith. He has had an effective career now for many, many years, which began in 1983 when he wrote his first album, The Michael W. Smith Project. Perhaps the most famous song on that album was entitled "Friends." If you'll indulge me, I'll read the first verse and the chorus. "Packing up the dreams God planted in the fertile soil of you. Can't believe the hopes he's granted means a chapter in your life is through. But we'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone, because our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. Friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, because the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hand we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends." Do you need a forever friend today? Do you need a friend that will stick by your side even when everything is falling apart? You may have been disappointed by relationships you've had in the past. Many of us have. But I'll tell you somebody today that will never disappoint you. He'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And his name is Jesus. And he's waiting with open arms right now to receive you as his friend today. if you would by faith say, Jesus, I cannot come and sit at your table because of my good deeds. I am disabled. I can't help myself. I need your salvation. And he will save you in this place today if you'll make that plea to him as every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Oh, dear Father, I thank you for everyone that is here today. Most of all, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for how he's extending his nail-scarred hand down to each one of us today, especially to those who have never trusted you as Lord and Savior. And Father, today we just ask that those folks who need you so desperately in their lives would say yes to you by faith. And then they'd make a public stand today and let everyone know that you are their friend and they are your friend. Father, I pray for those that are in this building who have already trusted Christ, but they need some friends to encourage them, friends in a church family. And Father, if you're leading them to First Baptist Church today, I pray that you'd give them the grace and the strength to come and to make that decision. Father, for those that just need to come and pray for their friends. Father, we pray that you would bless them and lead them and guide them. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.